Choir directors are creative, resourceful, dedicated, and sometimes completely out of ideas. Not to worry, the Choir Ninja Podcast is here with solutions you never saw coming. Get ready for some training, wisdom, and inspiration from the masters. Let Ryan Guth guide your journey to becoming a choir ninja.
Hey there, Choir Nation. This is Ryan Guth with the Choir Ninja Podcast, and I am delighted to have with me today Michael John Trotta, or MJT, as I'm going to call him sometimes throughout this episode. But he is joining me today for a very special reason, because he is a close affiliate and friend of a couple people that are near and dear to the podcast. One that has been with us a couple times, and one that is new for us, which is a new sponsor. And that new sponsor is sheetmusicdeals.com. Now, we have had one sponsor since the very beginning of Choir Ninja, and that is sightreadingfactory.com. And they've been on with us for almost a year, actually just over a year, I should say, at this point. And sightreadingfactory.com is the most amazing technological tool that I've ever seen used and implemented in the classroom. It allows you to create sight-singing examples based on specifications that you choose as a director, and you can project those examples on your smart board or on your smart wall or whiteboard or whatever you call it. And you can just choose the parameters and it'll make it for you. And it will generate unlimited examples that are completely original using a computer algorithm. And so you could receive 10 free student accounts when you purchase a regular teacher account, which is very inexpensive, by the way, using the promo code NINJA when you check out. So at sightreadingfactory.com, promo code NINJA. And of course, we'd like to thank them over at sightreadingfactory.com for sponsoring the show for over a year at this point. Also, we have mymusicfolders.com. Now, mymusicfolders.com is obviously music folders, but they are currently pre-selling Choirs Are Horrible right now for our next shipment. We have a new redesign of the game coming up, and that game is going to be available in the next couple months, and mymusicfolders.com is actually pre-selling it. So if you want to buy Choirs Are Horrible, you can go to mymusicfolders.com. Make sure you type in the promo code NINJA when you check out, especially if you're ordering folders. If you're ordering folders, you can use the promo code NINJA, or just tell them when you make the order, and you will get the best possible price. So that's the price that's reserved for orders of over 100, but you'll get that no matter what the size and quantity of the order is. So again, those are our two sponsors, and we have a third one coming on, and that's what we're going to talk about today. That third sponsor is sheetmusicdeals.com, and that's one of the reasons that Michael is with us today. And it's one of the, we're going to talk about some other things that are brewing that are really exciting for the choral world, and some of the reasons that we're partnering with another high quality sponsor, which is sheetmusicdeals.com. So let's jump in. All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining me today on the Choir Ninja Podcast.
My pleasure to be here.
So, Michael, I want to hear a little bit about your backstory here. Just what brought you to the choral world, and just a little Reader's Digest version of that. And then we'll get into sort of why you're here today.
Sure. So I started off as my first gig was elementary music teacher on a cart, 630 kids. I saw each one of them once per week for 30 minutes.
Wow.
The cart was bigger than my car, I think. And it was like a one-man band kind of a thing. Probably temperamentally right on the money for my personality to teach elementary music. It was like just the most, we just had the most fun. But my second teaching gig was 7 to 12 choir, junior high, high school. And I saw, I think, 9 choirs a day. It was just a gigantic program. And I had the 7th grade choir, the 8th grade choir, and I would get these students there. And You know, it was like the difference between whether or not they, I felt like the difference between whether or not they were going to have a lifetime of great musical experiences came down to whatever happened in my classroom. Mm-hmm. So it was great because that was a wonderful gig. It gave me an opportunity to see people at the very beginning, because a lot of them were beginning even in seventh grade, all the way through to, you know, senior in high school and scholarships and convention performances. And it was wonderful to kind of watch that trajectory. Then I did grad school. And when I was in grad school, I worked full time as a church music director. After I finished my doctorate at LSU, I taught for 5 years at the collegiate level. And let's see, that was about 5 years ago. And since that time, I've been working full time as a composer. And it's kind of cool because it's like, if you had to take a course in how to prepare yourself to write for lots of different kinds of choirs, it's kind of like life gave me that course. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I can see that. So yeah, you have a very diverse background as far as the choral field is concerned. You've been through it all. So that's great. And you're a New Jersey native, and that's cool because I moved to Albuquerque from New Jersey and lived there for pretty much all my adult life. And so I noticed that when we had a cell phone call earlier today, you and I both noticed each other's New Jersey area codes on our phone. That was kind of cool. So you and your wife live in Jersey, and you're composing. And how did you get acquainted with sheet music deals and Don, our great friend Donald Beebe?
So last year I toured doing choir clinics, concerts, whatnot, from January through April, nonstop. I had put 9,000 miles on my car.
Wow.
And in the midst of all of this, somebody I had done a clinic for in the Raleigh area said, "Listen, we would love to have you come and do a reading session here." And what was great is that he was willing to host this reading session. But, you know, the question is always, okay, so who's going to come up? Who's going to provide the music? Mm-hmm. And Sheet Music Deal stepped up to the plate. And that was my first opportunity to meet Donald and have an acquaintance with him. So I said, you know, what music do you want? What is it that you most need that you can't find that's not coming to you? And this director, Bert Fox, he said, you know, he said, "I need music, three-part mixed, middle school, stuff that's going to work in my classroom." And I had known him from, through he has a church gig, and I wrote a piece for his church, and it was, you know, strings and all sorts of adult, totally different. But he said, "The repertoire I can't find is the stuff for my middle school kids." Mm-hmm. So it was wonderful. Worked with Sheet Music Deals. I put together the most wonderful packet. There was about 40 pieces of music in it. And it was nothing but like, you know, it's kind of like when you have a favorite dish, like I love nachos, right? So when I can go and I just sit down and I have just a huge plate and I'm so excited because it's just what I really, really love. Mm-hmm. Fried corn and cheese, you know, it's right. Great. And it was kind of like that. This was kind of like a musical version. It was just the repertoire that he and his colleagues needed most. So he invited colleagues from all over. And what was amazing is when we showed up, Sheet Music Deals had all of the music arranged. They provided for all of the music. And most importantly, everyone kind of left there that day feeling like there was somebody thinking about what their needs were in the classroom. And I don't think we can have too much of that. I mean, teachers, they should be paid double and it wouldn't be enough. And we should give them triple the resources and it wouldn't be enough. And wasn't it nice that here's this sheet music retailer kind of stepping up and saying, "This is what you need most. Here, we're going to help you find what you need for your classroom."
Right. So you guys got a lot of real personalized attention. You didn't get the fluffy stuff that was the people that had an in with the publishers or that kind of thing. You probably had a diverse range of music from different publishers provided by one company. And this is exactly what this is, the nacho plate, right? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I picked the music.
Oh, you picked the music. Okay, gotcha. Sorry, so, I didn't follow. So,
no, but I think that in and of itself, that sheet music deals, their only interest was in giving their giving the choral community what they want, what they needed the most. And I think that's what's really interesting, is they're saying, you know, Michael, you've taught all these different ages. You tell us what they need. Tell us specifically what titles, and we will bring it to them.
Sure.
And I think that's what's really cool about it, is that their vested interest is first and foremost kind of helping fill the gaps.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's, I feel like with a lot of publishers, not publishers or providers, I mean, I don't know the sort of ins and outs of the composition world, but it seems like you see kind of the same people over and over and over again, and you wonder whether there's some like backdoor deals or something going on. I feel like I see the same names over and over again, and it's like the same old, you know, and it'd be nice to break that mold.
One of the things that I think about it is like when my wife and I go traveling, right? We love to travel, right? And there's all kinds of different hotels. Some people like a small boutique hotel because it has that, you know, really kind of intimate feeling. Mm-hmm. Some people like the big gigantic hotels because when they go there, they know exactly what they're going to get. Some people are shopping based on price and they just want to get whatever they can find on Hotwire. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that applies to lots of things in life, but specifically, you know, I don't think anyone is in direct competition in any negative sense.
Sure.
I just think the market is filled. And once you know what's most important to you, you know, I think there's someone who can do that. And for this group of people, it was, we need to have music that works exactly for us. And we need it to be tailored to meet our needs. And I think that's the kind of a thing that when you're dealing with personalized level of service. Mm-hmm. It's not a state list. It's not a festival list. You know, this is somebody who's saying, great, we're going to bring this composer in. He's going to do workshops with you. And, you know, I mean, that's something that's really exceptional about my experience with sheet music deals.
Great. Awesome. Okay. So from your perspective, as a composer, do you feel as though, you get a fair shake as far as being able to get in front of choral directors? You know, I mean, what are the challenges that with a composer that wants to get on a reading session or that kind of thing? I mean, do reading sessions, like, are they like major reasons for people to buy your music if you can get on a reading session? Or what's the strategy there? From a composer's perspective.
Yeah. A friend of mine is a really brilliant choreographer, and we were sitting and we were having dinner one time, and he said, you know, Michael, you work really hard. You do what you say you're going to do, and you have a lot of experience, and you're willing to share it with others. Mm-hmm. And he said, and none of that matters when it comes to the marketplace. It's not a guarantee. Mm-hmm. And I think what he was getting at is that, you know, there's the same politics in, you know, in any field.
Sure.
And just because you do something that's great doesn't mean that anyone's going to pay attention to them if they don't pay attention to it unless they know about it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of music on reading sessions that I might not do, but you know, there's a lot of music I found in reading sessions that I've fallen in love with just because of the reading session.
Sure.
I think it's all about where you're going for your resources. You know, I think that's that's definitely another, an entire other podcast is, you know, how do we learn what we like musically?
Sure.
You know, because I don't necessarily think hearing the, you know, professional choir do a piece and saying that's right for my choir, I don't think that's the right way to go about it either.
Right. No, that's a whole different podcast. That would be a good one. That would be a really good one.
We'll pickle that for the next time. But yeah, I think the idea is that, you know, of course, you know, I was just at TMEA and people would walk into the booth and my first question was, what is the music you need the most that you can't find? That was my question. And invariably it was like middle school repertoire, music for the changing voice for boys, music for the changing voice for girls, music that's developmentally appropriate for my choir.
Sure.
And what's cool about that is it's like, I have an opportunity, I think, as a composer, to have my work respond to the needs of the group. Now, if it's like a commission, that's not a big deal because I know the group that I'm writing for.
Sure.
But every once in a while, you get really lucky and you're solving problems for one choir. And maybe at the same time, you know, you're solving problems for, you know, that resonates with another group. And I think that's when I feel most satisfied in what I'm doing, because it's like I'm responding to the need. There's that great Rilke quote that art arises out of a great need as a response,
sure,
something to that effect. And I think that that really is kind of the, whether your music gets on the session or not, I think if it's responding to a need that people have, mm-hmm, I think that that's really something special. And I wish every piece could do that, sure, all the time. But I'm thrilled that even one piece has ever done that. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. Well, if it meets a need, that's fantastic. I want people to know about it. So I want to get into the sort of the meat and potatoes of this episode, which is really talking about, you know, we mentioned sheet music deals, and I'm going to get to them in a little bit because I think there's some cool things that are some collaborations that are going on with them, with you guys, with us, that I want to get to. But as far as really the core content here, you and I talked before this episode about, you know, the idea of creating a culture of belonging when it comes to new members of your choir or members that are in a transitional period with their voice and that kind of thing. And you had mentioned to me, you know, the tragedy of assigning the soprano part an octave lower, you know, to like the new kid in choir who doesn't quite, you know, it doesn't really quite fit into that one particular piece of repertoire that you're doing. And I thought about that for a second, because I know a lot of people who sort of give that advice. You could just transpose the soprano down, you know, the octave, and give it to that one bass in your SAB choir, or your one baritone in your SAB choir when you have a bunch of sopranos and altos there. And not only does that make him feel weirder, but he's probably in middle school, so he probably feels weird already. And it's like you're giving him like the leftovers. You're giving him like the scraps off the table. It's like, here, like you're an afterthought. And we're talking about creating a culture of belonging, right? So like, what does that mean to you, Michael?
Yeah, I think the idea, yeah, as you're talking, you know, I'm thinking I'm the middle child, right? It's like you're getting your brother's like shirt that he doesn't
hand
want
me down
anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the idea is, you know, I love the idea of a guy wanting to be in choir at a time that I don't think in most places that's not what's happening, where there's so many guys in the choir. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not really typical. So I understand the need to say, let's give them something to sing. So I think that that is part of the solution. I think the idea of creating a culture of belonging is, you know, we've written, there's a part that's just for you. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's, the idea is not trying to say, okay, everyone should be singing this one line, and if you can't do that, then just do something totally. What about music that actually has a line for each part? And there's been some real creative solutions that composers are coming up with and publishers are coming up with that kind of lend themselves to these flexible situations. You know, putting something in the score that says either or both notes at the discretion of the conductor, where if you have a spot in the score that splits and you have a baritone and a tenor and they both are not going to be able to hit each other's note, well, you just cue one note and leave the other one and say either or both at the discretion of the director. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, my first impulse to compose was, it was like I had these guys in my choir and it was like there were not notes on the page that they could sing. So it was like, you know what, we're just going to write some in there. And I think I wish people would be a little bit more honest about that. We all modify the music to meet the needs of our choirs.
Sure. Or we should
be. And I don't think there's anything, wrong with that, making things work in the classroom. As a matter of fact, I think when you're the teacher in the classroom, the most important thing is that you make it work. But from the composer point of view and a publisher's point of view, what can we do to kind of build that into what we're doing already?
Sure.
And, you know, there's been far and away huge advances made in the last even 20 years in publishing, in recognizing that it's okay to be a guy whose voice is changing. And yes, if you're a girl, your voice is changing too. It's going through a transition. So why don't we talk about that? Why don't we bring it out on the table? And why don't we find some repertoire? I think the only difference between a middle school choir and any other age choir is that their voices are changing. They can be musically excellent in every other way as any other choir at any level. It's just we have to be thinking about their voices and what is happening in terms of the vocal ranges.
So what about the idea of sort of SATB is like the standard choir format, you know, and everything else is just like, oh, they're writing that just because they're not ready for SATB yet. Or, you know, like is there going to be ever, or are you hoping to have, you know, choral repertoire that stands on its own as, you know, with some voices in transition and like, this is good quality repertoire, even though it's not like the standard that every school does, but my school does this and it has artistic merit just like everything else does. It's got great text, it's got great meaning, it's got wonderful phrasing and good voice leading and da da da. And like it's not SATB, it's like SACTB, like, but it's good. It's like great. And it should find its way to like into the history books of good choral repertoire. You know, I'd love to see like, I don't know, like a college do like put down a recording of something that is out of the regular format and have it have all the beauty and artistic merit of anything else that they put on a recording. Like, do you feel, are the times brewing for that or?
Oh, it's happening already. I was at University of Mississippi with Gary Packwood, and he was doing a piece from the Bridley catalog. Mm-hmm. And he said, the reason I'm doing it is because it's just as important that they can sing simple things beautifully as complex things.
That's great.
I mean, there's a guy who knows the secret right there.
Right. I think that's wonderful.
I think, you know, first commission I ever had, it was for a choir. They had 40 women and 10 guys. And the director came up to me and she said, listen, you want to write a commission? Write a piece where my guys sound like they have something to do that's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, and that was the piece. And the piece, because it gave the guys the melody. What a crazy idea. The guys had the melody and the women's parts kind of supported that and sang in harmony with that and amplified it, if you will. But the guys were the main course. Mm-hmm. And that piece was written three-part mixed, so soprano, alto, tenor, but with an optional baritone. Mm-hmm. Because some of the guys at the beginning of the year who could sing that tenor part, by the end of the year, well, guess what? They already knew the music. It was no problem to say, well, guess what? Your note now, it's not an octave down, but you actually have your very own part. Mm-hmm. But it's optional because if you don't have any guys, we don't want to make you feel less than. So right. It's just an optional note. And those kinds of flexible voices, I think, are, you know, it is not in any way, flexible voicing is not in any way saying that the music is less than. It's actually saying it's more than, and we're giving the teachers the opportunity to decide what's right for their classroom.
Yeah, that's great. And I like the thing you said earlier about recording simple music, you know, having a college level choir recording simple music. And I think they should take a page from, I know that like at the Midwest Clinic, right? If you're a instrumentalist, they make you program of a wide variety. If you are good enough to make it to be a performer at, you know, the single largest instrumental music convention in the world, the Midwest Clinic in Chicago, they make you perform level ones and twos and threes and fours and fives and sixes. They make you do a variety. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I'm totally correct about the grading and how many of each, but they make you do a whole variety because they want to show what something simple can sound like when played by an expert ensemble. And I love that. And I wish, you know, I would see more top level ensembles do some simpler music. It's not necessarily about impressing everybody at the next festival. It's about inspiring people. You know, your little middle school choir has the potential to do some really amazing artistic things with this very simple piece. I want to get sort of into the sort of mid-roll here of this podcast, which is actually, and we'll continue moving on with you know, this sort of this culture thing, but sheetmusicdeals.com is our new sponsor. And you have a project that you're working with Briley Music on, and Denise Eaton, who is a very popular guest on this podcast. And Sheet Music Deals has decided to specifically come to Choir Ninja to do a sponsorship, to specifically support this endeavor with you and Denise and Briley / Carl Fisher Music by giving Choir Nation 20% off of their orders when they specifically buy from Carl Fisher Briley using the promo code NINJA on Sheet Music Deals. You're going to get to know Choir Nation. You're going to get to know Sheet Music Deals over, you know, the next year here at least, and what they have to offer. And Donald, their leader, Donald Beebe, who is just the most professional man that I have ever met in my life. And he's so good, and he's so thorough, and he's so great that, you know, you're getting like a partner. You're getting more than just somebody to process an order. You're getting a partner that really, really cares about your program, and so much so that he's willing to offer this deal to Choir Nation. Can you talk to me a little bit about what Carl Fisher and Briley is doing and what you and Denise are doing? And that way Choir Nation understands why they should consider moving their vendors, at least for a trial period, to Sheet Music Deals to see what's going on there.
Yeah, I think Sheet Music Deals was responding to the reading session that we did, I guess it was a year ago at this point. And I think they were so excited about the response they had from directors. They said, well, how do we make this possible for more people? And you know, what Denise and I are a part of, Denise's editor, choral editor at Briley and Carl Fisher. And Denise, actually, the piece I was talking about, she was the editor on that first piece, When I Sing to Make You Dance, which since it was such a hit for three-part mixed, it was first three-part mixed, and then we did it for women's choir. So it wasn't like the women's choir version. It's great as a women's choir piece, but it was first in that three-part voicing. And I think it comes out of the strong history. Briley Music's been around since 1996. And I actually have, when you said this, I pulled this right up. Number one in their We Believe statement is, we believe that students should be given beautiful melodies to sing if they're to experience the beauty of music.
Hmm.
I mean, we could stop the podcast right now. And that really says it.
If my mic wasn't on a stand, I would drop it right now. No, that's beautiful.
And Brian Bush, who was the founder of Briley Music, started it. He again had a big teaching background. And so I feel like Denise is a wonderful custodian of that legacy. Mm-hmm. And I think in my role as composer, we have seen that the pieces that choirs most respond to are these pieces. You know, I wanted to go with this and the marketing department shot it down. I wanted to say that it's music that sounds harder than it really is.
Yeah, no, right. Of course. I like your sort of straight to the point, you know, version.
They said, we can't say that about the music. I said, mm-hmm. But it really is. It's music that I think it sounds sophisticated, But I think because the ranges are developmentally appropriate, mm-hmm. I think it feels easier. Sure. I think that you get a buy-in from your singers and a buy-in from your students that they're invested in it in a way. You know what I love? My favorite part about teaching, especially in the middle school, junior high range, is that students know when you're trying to sell them crap.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, I think there's something that's great about students because it's like they have a way of being honest in a way that sometimes we as directors and composers aren't really honest. I think that they have an innate sense of what directors, it's like they know the secret to what makes a piece work, and you can see it. I was working with the choir last week, and it was like they were singing the song, and as I looked in their eyes, we stopped and I said, you know, you really love this piece of music. I can tell you really love this piece of music. And you could, there's just something about that, that they respond to it. And, you know, and I remember when my biggest fault as a director is that if they don't love every piece of music like that, I will fuss at them and give them a hard time, right? Like, well, you love that piece of music. Why don't you sing every piece of music like you sing that? And it's just like, I don't know, they innately know, and they gravitate towards music, I think, that includes them, that resounds with them. First of all, they want something that's excellent, right? We talked a little bit before that they don't want to have music that seems like a hand-me-down, or like they're doing somebody else's part. Or, you know, I've been in rehearsals where, you know, I've been in the choir. I remember when I was younger, I'd be in the choir and the director would be like, okay, now jump up to this other clef and try this other thing. And now you're going to sing this part. And it was like super confusing. It did not make me feel, you know, valued and important.
No, it's harder. I mean, it's like harder for somebody who's brand new to choir, who's already uncomfortable and insecure about singing to like, okay, this is great. Well, you can't do that. So now you're going to jump from this part to that part. And you're going to sing with the altos here. Then you're going to sing with the bear. Like, that's terrible. I feel so bad for those people. Because I think I did it to them when I was a middle school teacher too.
I mean, I remember my very first time student teaching. It was like my first chance to get up in front of the middle school girls choir. And I don't know what I did, but I probably didn't pay enough attention to the fact that they were learners, right? So I went in and I taught this lesson and I thought it went great. And the cooperating teacher came up to me and she's like, they had no idea where you were in the music at any point. She's like, you might as well not have even taught that lesson at all, because they're not going to take anything away from it, because they spent the whole time going, why doesn't this guy tell us where we are in the music?
Right, right.
And it was humbling because she was right. And she's like, okay, but she's like, now you have an opportunity to fix it. Like, what a cool learning opportunity.
So what is Briley doing to fix it? That's what I want to jump in. Just for the sake of being a good steward of Choir Nation's time, I want to make sure that we get to the real meat of the solution. What are you doing to fix this problem?
Right. So number one, beautiful melodies. Number two, lots of different voicings and flexible voicings. So everything from unison. How about unison optional two-part? There are essay works, three-part mixed. There's three-part mixed with optional baritone. And if you happen to have a choir that is balanced, there's even beginning level SATB works, but SATB works where the bass range is something that's appropriate for a newly arriving bass. I like that instead of changing, arriving, a newly arriving bass.
Sure.
And the idea is that Carl Fisher, people say all the time, well, okay, that's Briley. We know Briley. We know the blue covers. Well, what is Carl Fisher doing? How is that different? And I think the idea is that Carl Fisher is kind of when you feel really good and your choir feels really good and they're looking to take that repertoire to the next level, but still an appropriate one, you know, and that's going to be really more for the super advanced junior high. It's going to be more for the high school. But as you mentioned, you know, some of the best performances of these pieces are by college choirs who just like the music because it's good music.
Right. So is... explain to me the difference between Carl Fisher and Briley, or, you know, for those Choir Nation members who don't know why we keep saying the two names back to back.
Sure. So basically, Briley Middle School, Carl Fisher High School. I mean, that's very reductionist, but that's it in 10 words.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's good. So, okay. So middle school choirs and, or maybe even developing high school choirs could look at some Briley stuff and feel pretty good about what they might be able to do with it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that if you were in middle school and you know, it's because it's like, if you're a freshman guy and you've never sung in choir before, you know, that's way different than if you're a freshman guy and you were in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade choir. And now, you know,
sure.
So I think the idea is we want to kind of offer something for every level of the developing voice. And I think the idea is that this new emerging series and signature series kind of clarifies that. So emerging is like, you know, you're brand new, you're ready to go, you're excited, but you need something that you can actually sing. And then the idea of the signature series is that you're kind of taking what you've done already. You have a firm grasp of the basics and you want to take it to the next level.
Sure. I think it's really important for us to understand the different series within publishing companies, because I know that I never looked at the cover. I didn't care who published it. I didn't care who published it. I didn't care what series it was in, because it didn't mean anything to me, because nobody ever explained it to me. No, I never had a class in college on choosing repertoire for your choir, which kind of stinks. I mean, I went to Westminster, it kind of stinks. But but I really didn't have, I don't know what, maybe I was asleep that day. I have no idea. But I did not have anybody explained to me, oh, well, if you're going into middle school and you have, you know, a really reasonable middle school choir, maybe you should be looking at this series. I mean, besides like Doreen Rao, you know, like with the red covers, I didn't know what the heck to do in middle school. I had no idea, you know?
Well, and I think that's what's so important about this conversation that we're having, is that I think everybody feels reasonably competent when they come out as a first year teacher, mm-hmm. that they can go ahead and program SATB music and at least get through their first year.
Sure.
But the problem is, if you wind up in a situation where you don't have an SATB choir, then it's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. What class was that I missed?
Right. Exactly. No, right. I don't know. Because SATB, all you're doing is pulling from your, like, your own repertoire of things that you've probably done in the last 8 years.
Right.
And I came from a middle school choir program myself, where we met 30 minutes twice a week during X period. And by the time she finally got everybody to shut up, we only had 20 minutes to sing, maybe. You know, I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I didn't have that. I tried to block that out of my memory. So I had no idea what we sang when I was in middle school. So to be a new middle school director, man, I was clueless, totally clueless. And so it's nice to hear that, you know, that there is now, like, the emerging series, you know, with Briley, that can help us, you know, help people like me at least find a place to start.
Well, and I think the other things about that is, number one, piano accompaniments are specifically made that they can be playable. If you play piano reasonably well, not even reasonably well, but competently, if you pass your piano exam in undergrad, you should be able to play anything in the Briley catalog.
Sure.
The other thing is, Briley also comes with accompaniment parts that are downloadable for free online. It comes with part dominant recordings. So if you're in a situation like almost every middle school director that I know, and you are conducting from the keyboard, or you don't have an accompanist, well, guess what? You just download that to your MP3 player. Is that, what am I, 1,000 years old? Are there even MP3 players anymore?
You're Microsoft Zune.
So you download the recording, or you play it online, and there you have the accompaniment, and you can actually practice conducting. and the students won't look at you odd the day of the concert because it's the first time they've ever seen you move your arms.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I think the Bradley's commitment to resources for the teachers and in the classroom, resources like, oh yeah, here's the piano part already recorded for you. Here's a way for you, you know, to give your students recordings, and we can skip the whole copyright law, digital dispute. We're just going to give them to you because you need them and we have them. So you're happy to have them.
Right. No, it's a no brainer. It's a no brainer. So I would definitely encourage, and you know, Denise has created a lot of trust with Choir Nation. She never lets Choir Nation down. She's been on the podcast 3 times and drops value bombs all over Choir Nation. So, you know, if she's tied to the Bradley brand, you know, people are already, I know, thinking about this is a place I need to go to look for some music. I want to encourage, and I'm going to have Michael here help me encourage Choir Nation to really look at sheetmusicdeals.com as a place to go. And there are lots of places to go for your music. And I remember when I first moved to Albuquerque, everybody just went to the local place here in Albuquerque because that was they were on the approved vendor list and blah, 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 and this and that. And I got terrible service, awful service. It was slow. I had to drive to the place and pick up music on my own gas. I mean, it was just like awful service with them. And I won't even name the name. And you're going to get the complete opposite with Sheet Music Deals. Donald himself will make sure of it. This man is so invested in making this new company work. He's just over a year old. He is ready and willing to have his company be on everybody's approved vendor list. He works with all the major publishers, and he's obviously very invested in making sure that the word gets out about Bradley and Carl Fisher. And he's partnering regularly and with his company to sponsor reading sessions all over the darn place. And biggest thing of all, he believes in the mission of Choir Ninja and in Choir Nation. And that is huge. So, you know, I would really encourage you to take a look at sheetmusicdeals.com just because I think it's going to be they're going to be an awesome provider for lots of members of Choir Nation very soon. So the level of detail is, the attention to detail and service is amazing. So Michael, do you want to add anything to that? I mean, I don't want to get too like commercially, but like when I get passionate about something, I get passionate about something vocally. And this team at Sheet Music Deals is awesome.
Yeah, I think that, you know, first of all, call them and tell them you want a reading session for your next district in service. Next time you have a bunch of teachers together and you're not sure and you don't want to sit through the next, like, you know, like, because how about that? Talk about underserved population, music teacher in services.
Oh.
So many times it was like we had to go sit with the people and listen to something that was like had nothing to do. You know, it was like a networking for computers over, because it was like they didn't know what to do with us. If you're on a curriculum committee or you have anything to do with the kind of professional development, next time you have a day, call Donald and say, hey, call Sheet Music Deals and say, listen, we want to have a reading session for all the music teachers in our district. And really, that has been my number one collaboration with Sheet Music Deals, is they are having me come in as a clinician and do reading sessions of new music. And it's not Michael Trotta's music only. It's not like the Michael Trotta show. It's multi-publisher, it's multi-composers. It's really centered around what the teachers themselves and the students need the most. And no one knows what the students need the most more than their teachers.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. If you could have Sheet Music Deals help you get out of another terrible in-service day,
I mean, Yeah, that would be worth its weight in gold.
I would bronze Donald Beebe and hang him on my shelf. Like, yeah, he, like, seriously. And actually, I would like that. I would like a bronze Donald Beebe on my my credenza. But yeah, Choir Nation, check them out. Check out Briley, what they're doing. You know, Briley's not paying, you know, to be a sponsor or anything like that, but you know, I support Denise, and I support you, Michael, and the things that that you're doing, and the things that these really wonderful and loyal you know, friends of Choir Nation are doing. So thank you, Michael. Thanks for being an advocate for everybody. The normal, the in the trenches choral directors that are out there, because that's who we serve at Choir Ninja.
Oh, and it is, I am lucky to do what I do, and it is because of the teachers in the trenches and because of my time being in the trenches. And also, I gotta tell you, my favorite thing to do is to go work with choirs who are not perfect. Like, they're the real choirs. Mm-hmm. I don't really like working with a group that has practiced, you know, for 6 months for 2 minutes that I'm going to spend in front of them, as much as going in there the first day that they're there in the music room when it's hard. I mean, it's great to deal in reality.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm not afraid of reality in that way. So I wanted to say, I'm a huge fan. I started listening to one of Denise's podcasts, and it was like, I got hooked. So I'm a huge fan of Choir Ninja, and I love everything that you are doing for Choir Nation, and it's just an honor for me to be here. And I want to support and do everything that I can to, you know, to support the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. Now, Michael, where can we find more about what you're up to?
You can come visit me at the website, mjtrotta.com. It's like MJT, like we said earlier, MJT Rotta. So mjtrotta.com.
Okay, like Rotta.
Correct.
MJT Rotta. Okay. And that should be like a dance or something, the MJT Rotta. I don't know. I have no idea. I just say things sometimes. And so if we want to email you, we have questions, or...
You can do it all through the website.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, I will officially invite you to join us in the Choir Nation Facebook group. That is a great place where we have about 2,500 fans of the podcast that are currently in the group, and they are awesome choir directors. Awesome because they are positive, encouraging, supportive. They don't start drama. They don't put anybody else down. It's like a... You know, I don't want to misuse the word safe space, but it is kind of like that, you know, but I'm using that totally wrong, but, it's really just a great place to be yourself as a choir director. And that's just facebook.com/groups/choirnation. So if you want to join us there, there's some really positive dialogue going on in there right now. And there's been so many more posts recently in the last couple of months. I think people they've been joining in droves. And it's the kind of group where we actually kick people out that are inactive. So so if we have a little software that we can find out who's active and who's not, and we like are boiling it down to like the most concentrated, beautiful group of choir directors that are awesome that we can. And so Michael, I would love to invite you to join Choir Nation. You can find us, yeah, like I said, facebook.com/groups/choirnation. You can request to be part of the group, and I'll make sure that Stevie or myself lets you in. And if you have any questions for Michael, you could tag him on a post there, or you could go to his website, check out what he's doing there, and submit a contact there as well. So thank you so much, Michael, for joining me on the podcast. And I hope Donald and the team at Sheet Music Deals is happy with what we were able to do today. And I hope Denise gives us a thumbs up. And I most of all, hope that Choir Nation has learned something new today and is going to take some actionable items away from today's episode. So thank you, Michael.
Oh, thanks so much to you. And I look forward to seeing you and the rest of Choir Nation on the Facebook group.